Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Kimo Campano. He is a Hawaiian high seer. He goes by Kimo the Light Seer on a lot of social media. And Kimo, I want to welcome you back to the show. Hello.
Leslie, thank you for having me back. It is always a pleasure to be with you. Always a pleasure.
You are one of my favorites, one of my actual listeners' favorites. They're always like, please bring Kimo back. He's just such a light, and you really, truly are. And it makes sense that you're a light seer too. That's what you go by, but I know it's officially a high seer. Can you tell us what that means?
Yeah. So in the modality that I was trained in my Aboriginal culture, and every healer and seer will perceive this differently, the high seer was the individual who would accompany the chief or the chiefess or the king or the queen to be able to perceive the timeline or the future that we would call the future of their outcomes. Now, when it comes to that, that would be the seer.
Right.
When it comes to high seer work was the translation of not only being able to see outcome and foretell what they would identify as like the prophet seership. I don't really identify as that, but the ability to use sight to identify things in the body, to then focus on healing modalities, spiritual modalities, intuitive development, and everything that connects to the perception of frequency through the body and through being of assistance. So the role of the high seer was far more than just accompanying the chief and the chiefess. And stepping into that identity, for those of you who might be brand new to hearing me or what I do, that did take me some time. And I do find that a lot of individuals out there, as they're learning about the work of psychics and intuitives and mediums, a lot of people are realizing that I'm not necessarily a medium, or I'm not necessarily a psychic, I'm actually a seer. I actually can perceive the world in abstract form through frequency and energy, and then being able to quantify that as being evidentially true, and realizing that it's more abstract than just linear medium work with spirit, psychic work with senses, intuitive work with the expansion of senses. Seer work accompanies all of that, in addition to working with evidential information for healing and growth.
Okay, see, that's what's so cool, because I remember in one of your videos, you were talking about just kind of walking down a path, and you could feel vortexes, you could feel the, or I think that's what you call them. Is that something that is like all around us or in certain spots? Do we cause those? What is that?
Oh my gosh, great question. I love this question. Okay, so here's what it looks like on a frequency level. So for one, again, for those of you that are new to me, at least the way that I communicate, for me, the world is so visual. And I learned as a child to substantiate the things that I could see by cross-referencing it with scientists and with doctors. And then I learned that the things that I was perceiving is real, whether that's from the body or how scientists would measure some kind of frequency and some kind of atmosphere or some kind of container. Those things are very, very visual. And I want to just, before we go into any diversions, make sure that people understand that I truly believe that everyone can do what I do.
Yeah.
I know that they can, because when people just simply learn how to unwind how they were raised in thinking and learn how to see in a new way, I know that everyone can do this. So I don't want anyone to think that this has to be the select few or the elite or the special individuals. This is accessible to everyone. It just takes time and process and development.
Right.
So now, back to the seat of the question.
Right.
Is it vortex or is it portal? And now, I think that most people will use the same language for both of those. They'll call a vortex a portal or a portal a vortex.
Okay.
But here's the differences of what it visually looks like.
Okay.
Portal visually shows up as a field of energy that is around you, contingent on the emotions and the expansion of your human biofield, which is, human biofield is my electromagnetic energy, my brain and my heart energy together.
Okay.
When you are in a pissy mood, everything is going wrong.
Yeah.
You essentially change the biofield, which looks like something, and it creates this energy drainage. So when you walk into a space, people around you will say, man, she's draining the energy. Oh, I could tell that something is going on with her because she's in such a bad mood. You are picking up on the frequency of her portal.
Yes, because you know,
And
real
then.
quick, Kamo, because you know why? Well, you know when you're walking into a room and people are fighting and then it just feels icky. When you walk in that room, it's the same kind of feeling, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, because of that, when you perceive information coming forward, I can feel that something is off, something is going on for them. I can pick up on the biofield of the person or the people that I'm around in that moment. And we've actually been able to quantify that through studies. Our identity of portal is the ability to perceive within the biofield of the person around us or the people around us how I can sense the feeling and the emotion around them. And that is the information that we've been able to quantify with science. So that's how we identify portal, including you might expand your biofield into a portal, have a really bad day, walk into a space. Some individuals leave their portal in the room and then they walk out of the room, which means you walk into that space and there's no one in there. And you might say, something doesn't feel right here.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this, though. Is that kind of like how a ghost would work?
Kind of. So when it comes to our identity of ghosts, ghosts are a series of residual energy.
Don't you think there's so many different kinds of things that could classify as maybe spirit visiting, regardless of what people think it is, really?
Of course, but and it always depends on the level of intelligence. So let's just say that you walk into a space, and let's just say that I was in there before you and I'm having a really bad day. I'm really irritated and I leave the room, but you walk in there an hour later and you say, I don't know who was in here, but I can feel something. I can feel that there's a sense of irritation. Now, what most individuals will tend to do because they don't know how to make sense of their feelings, the way that their body is picking up on insight, they'll say, oh my gosh, there's a bad energy in here. Or some people are actually tuned in enough to say, I sensed an energy here. And I don't know if there was male, that he was, 5'10", had black hair, like they're describing me, without realizing that they're picking up on an aspect of my former feelings and emotions in that space. Now, when that is picked up on, meaning that once again, they have done studies where they measure electromagnetic fields of two different individuals at two different spaces. One person is having a really large experience. The other person then walks into that space without knowing that person. They could describe the energy of the room contingent on what that person looked like because you can pick up on it. Sometimes we are miscategorizing ghosts as residual energy from the living.
I agree. I totally agree. I really do. I just think there's so many different levels and perceptions and frequencies and dimensions that ghosts can actually be in. And I don't even know if you could call them that. I think it's just like you said, a residual kind of energy that can't be created or destroyed. It just changes form, depending on how you are.
It's residual energy. Now, sometimes that residual energy will come in from the dead, meaning someone having lived there or a major event happening in that location that leaves an impact. Here's how you will know if it's residual energy or if it's echo of the conscious energy. The difference is what is recognized, which means our identity of a ghost or residual energy doesn't really know that you're there, doesn't really have any interaction with you. Why? Because it's on a loop. It's on a loop of information, which
Would
is
you?
why you can perceive what you would call a ghost at Gettysburg.
Is that kind of like a trapped, energy?
No, so it's not trapped, but I can understand why it's felt as trapped because we, as the living, do not understand how to make sense of what we can see. I can see someone circling this area. They look like they're from the War of Gettysburg. They're dressed in that kind of time era. They're holding the old musket. That must be a trapped ghost. No, what's happening is you picked up on just a residual form of thought process that is still being felt in that area. What is actually happening is there was a large, exorbitant amount of energy in that area. So then the area memorizes it. There's when spirit moves, true spirit, Leslie, true spirit has a profound amount of intelligence that's not on a loop. That intelligence says, I have an aspect of who I was. I have an aspect of who I am now on the other side. It communicates in multiple dimensions. And it only gives you an aspect of former personality traits, so that way you, the living, know, oh, that does sound like my dad. That was just like my dad, but while simultaneously having information on the other side. That is true spirit consciousness. And when you communicate to true spirit consciousness, as soon as they are passed, as soon as the body is done, they move instantly. There is no such thing as a stuck soul or stuck spirit. And any psychic or medium who tells you that there is or that I am wrong has not done developmental work.
Yeah, no, and I totally get it, because when you said the residual energy is memorized, that took on a whole different meaning for me, because I was like, I understand that it's not necessarily trapped. It's more of just, it's just a loop of energy. It's really not a trapped soul or what. I don't think, I never thought souls got trapped either way. I think that they have the ability to go wherever and anywhere they want. It doesn't really matter. It's their choice, correct?
It is. Well, not only is it correct, it's profoundly correct. And again, because we as humans can really only see through the perspective of our eyes. And that's how we obtain what we believe evidence to be. But evidence is much more dimensional than that. So for example, if we believe that, you know, the soul essence of who I am inhabits my body, while simultaneously having a connection to what I might perceive in my dreams, what I can perceive inside of my memories, which is living memory, what I could perceive inside of, you know, thinking about some kind of past life or something like that, what that would constitute is that soul is multidimensional.
Right.
And because it is multidimensional, soul is essentially particles of knowing. And because soul is particles of conscious knowing, our human brains are so linear that it says, well, then it must only be in this body, without realizing that it is so non-linear that it moves in this body, out of this body, multiple locations at the same time. So what does that mean? We are not so special that soul would ever tether itself to my body and my body only. So when the body dies, soul remains stuck. That is such a linear, binary way of thinking about soul. But that's not what happens. When you communicate evidentially with spirit intelligence, true spirit intelligence, with a developed psychic, nowhere in that consciousness will they tell that they're stuck or that they're angry still or that they're still harboring bad emotions. They don't speak like that.
No. And that's another thing, like when I did communicate with my father, who was pretty abusive to my sister and I, don't have to go into detail, you understand that. I asked him, where are you? Mom, who passed away, told me to talk to you. And she said, you're not where she is, but there's no hell. There's none of that. But I asked him, I said, where are you? And he said, I'm in solitary confinement. And I was like, what? And I said, do you feel, you know, source, whatever you want to call God, I don't know, around you? And he goes, he's all around me. This is my choice. I have the freedom to go wherever I want. That's exactly what he told me.
So when it comes to that, there are different levels of learning on the other side.
Yes. Yeah, he wasn't in the dimension where my mom was. He was not on the same frequency. She could go to him, but he could not go to her. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Of course. So because there's different levels of learning on the other side, that thought has become greatly hyperbolized when it comes to religion, meaning that every religious sect will have their own variant of how they perceive the other side, meaning that the Mormon faith thinks about it in three different levels of heaven.
Right.
Same thing happens with, exactly, but different levels. Same thing with Hinduism. Like, there's different levels of intelligence on the other side. And every faith comes from a binary code. Well, I don't know how to think about it in any other way. So there must be tiered levels.
Right.
And all that information, I think, has an aspect of truth that has to go through the human brain as a filter. So then it becomes hyperbolized as, this is the only thing that you can do to get to these pearly gates of heaven.
Exactly. And well, and most, well, every single near-death experiencer I've talked to say, there's no religion there. That's not a thing. That was a, that's a human thing. That's not a on the other side thing. You know, we all come back and I, they say, well, you're victimizing. No, we come back. I think every single time, I believe in reincarnation, every single time you come back, you might be the bad guy. You might be the good guy. You might be the person that was victimized. You might be the person that's a big loss. You might have a resting life. It just depends on what you want to do. And there's no bad or good over there. No one's bad or good.
Well, and now think about it from a different perspective. When you are trying to have a conversation with someone and they say, my father would never come back in that way. He was a jerk. He was abusive. What that person is really saying is, I am so traumatized that there is no way that I could perceive that man not like that.
Right. And see, what happened with my father is I kind of started feeling sorry because that's my human emotion. And I started communicating with him. And then finally, toward the very end of our communication, I said, Dad, are you still there? And he goes, no, I've decided to absorb back into the light. And I said, well, how are you talking to me? And he goes, you can always talk to me. I'm still me. I'm still that soul that you knew. He goes, but I decided to do this for now. You know, he decided not to come back, in other words. He decided just to be there, you know? Now, he may later on, you know, free will and all that, but, you know, they can do whatever they would like there. It's not so, people here are just so confined to their beliefs. And regardless if it's religion or not, even if it's you don't connect with the other side, they still don't believe any of this stuff. So it's either or, really. You either do or you don't.
Well, and that's a great example of saying, I know that I was in connection to the highest level of consciousness with my father.
Yes.
Because I got insight of the echo of his personality traits while he simultaneously brought in information from the other side.
Yes.
And when he did that, my perception of him was different because I changed my perception.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm sorry to interrupt you because when I told somebody this, I don't remember what it was. I think it was just a medium that I was talking to. And she said, oh, they don't do that. They don't go to, you know, they don't put themselves in penance or whatever. And I said, well, that was my perception. Regardless of if he really did that or not, that was the perception he gave me. Whether I was right in perceiving what I got, that's on me. Regardless, I changed the relationship I had with my father, and now I revere him.
Yeah. Well, first of all, there are many mediums out there in practice who should not be in practice.
Right.
And truly, a medium's job is to be able to perceive information with neutrality.
You're right.
Not from a place of now they're going to hell and now they're stuck. There are mediums on television who use that language.
I know.
They're stuck. And in fact, and I say this very openly, there is a very well-known medium on TV from New York City, male in energy, who is a very talented medium. He can see very, very clearly, has very good perception of sight.
Mm-hmm.
However, simultaneously, is still very stuck in dogma,
mm-hmm.
which means they are stuck. They only do this, and that's judgment.
Yes, it is.
Which means that the medium's job, if they are a person who is truly in service to the collective, means not only can I perceive the information, give you evidence of who they are, but I have the ability to transmute this very specific old form of them coming forward with abuse and neglect and only seeing them in this form to give you information that is about your highest level of good, while simultaneously giving you evidence of who they were.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the whole thing. And I was kind of taken aback when they said that to me because I was like, you know, your perception, like you and I could be looking at the same apple. You could be on the other side of the street. I can be on one side of the street. And the apple may be a whole different color to you than it is to me. But we're seeing the same apple. Does it mean that you weren't looking at the same one I was looking at? No, it just means you perceived it differently. And when you have that anything is possible attitude, you are doing better for everyone than no, it's my way or the highway.
Exactly. So now retranslate that. If you or your listeners are listening to this, and they'll say, well, I saw a spirit and I knew that it was bad. I knew that it was bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what's really happening is your perception of bad is convoluting what you are able to perceive, which means I only see my dad come forward and he's still angered and he's still evil. No. What's happening is that you still see anger and evil, which means that it changes. It does not transmute the way that you see spirit.
Right.
And because it doesn't transmute, that spirit for some people can still have a physical effect, scratches, discomfort on the physical body, because there's been no transmutation.
Mm.
And it's always up to the sitter to identify. And so if your medium says, I can see that they're evil and pained, okay, well, your medium hasn't done developmental work to process their own emotions, to make sure that their own emotions have a high value system to then be in service to other individuals. Once again, if your listeners are listening to this and they themselves are mediums or psychics or intuitives, and their only perception of spiritual intelligence comes forward in that way, then go back to class.
Right. I totally agree with you.
Seriously, go back to class.
Well, because it's such a dark way to look at it. It's not a good way. And there's no emotion on the other side. And you're like, well, if there's no emotion, why was your dad in solitary confinement? He was in a whole different frequency than my mom was in. And he was still in a, I don't know how to describe it better than this. He still had some human emotions attached to him. And that's why he did what he did to himself. Because I think he went through a life review and thought, what kind of monster am I? He was holding on to that human emotion. And once I helped him get through that, and I didn't even know I was doing it, he totally did a reset. And I just love him to death. I mean, I talk to him all the time now.
Well, I want you to pay attention to what you really just said. Mm. What you really just said is, I am able to communicate as a healed version of me.
Yes.
Because if you still communicated to him with pain and disgust and discomfort, and I only perceive him in that way, what I'm really saying is, I am not healed from this.
Right. Yeah. Because my mom was saying, you know, you can talk to him. And I was like, I don't know if I want to talk to him. She goes, just talk to him, you know. And I thought I was. And he healed me too. Because I was able to ask him something. I said, go back to that little girl, hold her and tell her, you know, that you love her and treat her like the father you should have treated her like. And and that was kind of a Reiki kind of thing, I think. And I got a hold of him a couple weeks later and I said, and I felt stronger with him. I felt like a stronger connection. Didn't know why, because it had been 2 weeks. And I asked him, finally got a hold of him, because I didn't always get a hold of him. And I'm new to this. So I say I'm new. I've been doing this about 3 years. But I'm new enough to where I don't want it to be me doing it. I know when it's something that I know I didn't say in my head, then it's not me, then it's him. And that's how I know it's him. And so when I said, where are you now? And he told me he'd absorbed back into the light. And I said, well, I don't even know how you can talk to me, because I'm always here. I'm still here. I'm still energy. I don't go away. None of this goes away.
So right there, again, you're speaking from the perspective of a healed person. Mm. Mm-hmm. Of a person who's going through that. So for example, this medium that I'm mentioning, you know, says not everything is love and light. You think that Hitler on the other side is at the same place that my grandmother goes to? That's not fair. And again, listen to that language.
Right.
That language states, I still have incredible pain and trauma in the experience of this. Therefore, there is no way for me to see in a very binary way that energy can be transmuted on the other side. And it's very hard, because the human part of me says, oh my gosh, Dahmer must be in hell.
Oh,
Hitler
yeah.
must be in hell,
right.
because there was so much pain. Now, that's not up for me to decide. That is up for that spiritual intelligence to go through learning and review and comeuppance and understanding and reflection and growth on the other side.
Right.
Now, the unfortunate part of that is that then we, the living still on this planet, are still processing the residual energy. We're still processing Hitler here.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
We are still processing it. But that's a part of our lesson, is to figure out, how do we process that? Well, because we process that, we now have a very cold, hard stopper when it comes to people who really align with those kind of idealistic beliefs.
Right.
Like, not acceptable.
Right. And, you know, I do believe that sometimes people choose, or maybe have a soul contract, to do the not so great things to evolve souls here. I think that's sometimes what they're supposed to do, or what's the point?
What you just said is going to be very polarizing.
I know.
And that's okay. But because what it starts to sound like for some individual's interpretation, this is not my interpretation, is that, well, then what you've just done is you've taken someone's great deal of pain of,
right.
you know, all the millions of people that were killed by
Absolutely.
Hitler, and say, now it's okay.
And it doesn't make it right. No, it doesn't.
We want to differentiate that it's not, we're not saying that it's okay.
Yeah.
We're not saying that everything is love and light, but it is understanding that through this, that we cannot change the history of that, but we can change our reaction to it.
Exactly.
And we can change the way that we grow from it, which means that we still have people who have Nazi beliefs, but we now do not condone them.
Right. Well, most of us don't.
That is incorrect behavior.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And so do you think that when people hold on to these emotions, because I do believe we can make ourselves sick with this stuff, don't you think? And you can also heal yourself, and you can actually heal people too through your, is it psionic healing that you do?
Yeah, so psionic healing is just a fancy word to say the usage of psychic abilities.
Okay.
So when I do healing work, you know, for years I didn't want to be called a healer. I didn't want that title because what I found as a child who was able to perceive healing was that most people are making themselves sick. They are making themselves sick. And there was times when I would heal someone. They'd feel great. They'd feel better. Inflammation would go down instantly. Within 2 days, it'd be back. And when you look at it from a perspective of frequency, all maladies and sicknesses have a very specific visual frequency. Yeah. When you look at that, it's the fact that, oh, you didn't heal the frequency. You focused on the symptoms. But in order to make sure that the symptoms do not return, you must heal the frequency. Now, translate the word frequency when it comes to healing as emotion, meaning you heal the emotion of the body. The body no longer has a need to feel it as a physical sensation, which translates into every single ailment, unless it is environmental, you fall down the stairs, spraining your ankle, getting in a car accident, every single other ailment from cancer to tumors to the common flu, all those aspects are is an aspect of some kind of emotional misalignment problem, which means you solve those problems, the body begins to recalibrate. Even the autoimmunes do this. The body begins to recalibrate. We have had clients recalibrate massive malady that doctors say this is terminal, massively change it within months. We have had clients who've been able to change stenosis or sepsis in 45 minutes. It just depends on what the ailment is, how it's located, what the emotional equilibrium is, and if the client is ready to actually do the emotional work. Not just saying, I want to feel better. That's not enough for the body. The body must be able to say, I believe I'm ready to let go of the emotion that caused it.
Would you call that shadow work?
Well, it's an expansion of shadow work. Shadow work is like 101, skimming the surface.
Okay.
The identity of, oh, yeah, I have a problem. I have some old trauma. I'll work through that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when we are identifying the emotional equilibrium of what the cause is, shadow work is going in with a bulldozer to say, I am ready to excavate now, right now, what that issue is. And if you can hold yourself accountable to that, your body will change instantly. Literally, it will change instantly. How do I know that? We have over 10,000 clients who have done that.
Wow. So tell me, like, so when you, because I've seen your videos and you're literally just on a video call with someone. They don't have to be right there with you. You can do it all over the world. I know that. Yeah. So you're talking to him and I hear you say something like, how does that shoulder feel? Or how does that hip feel or whatever? And, oh, it's already feeling better. Okay. I mean, it's all energy. But tell me,
it's all energy. Yeah. So remember that energy has no boundaries. Again, our brains don't know what to do with that information. So we say, no, energy must have a boundary. But technically, frequency and energy don't really have boundaries, which means that my clients are all over the world. And so if you look at my social media, I have playlists that just says healings. And if you look at that, it's me working with a client in a different time zone, in a different state, in a different country. We're at two different places. At the same time, they walk in with a very specific ailment. My job in that moment is to say, well, let me locate the emotion of that ailment, the imbalance of that ailment. And now let's work together. Let me work on transitioning the emotion. I'll do my part. Your part is to allow me to move the emotion, and then your part is to hold yourself accountable to keeping it out. And when that happens within just a few minutes, you will see the client feel completely different. So those videos that I post, that is healing in two different parts of the world at the same time.
Wow.
You don't have to be next to someone in order to do that.
Just you talking, I know this sounds really crazy, but just you talking about it makes me feel better. I don't even know how to describe it.
Good.
Well, I think, your energy is always just so kind and lovely and uplifting and gentle.
So
and beautiful. And literally, that's honestly probably the most attractive thing that I have to you that wants me to introduce you to my other listeners, because there's so much stuff going on in the world, chemo.
There's so much stuff going on. It truly. As we start to navigate the climate of the world, I'm going to say something that is not actually easy. It's easy in theory, not so much easy in experience. But the more clear you are with who you are, what you are, how you behave, what your emotions are, and the awareness of that, the more clear you are, the harder it will be to be affected by any of the umbrages, any of the problems in the world. Those things will not affect you as much. Now, I don't want you to be in a hermit mode where you don't listen to anything. I do want you to be a person who is knowledgeable, but you're able to, when you are clear, to be observant of the information coming forward as opposed to feeling it. And there's a major difference. Feeling it does what? Feeling it goes into the body, then can create some kind of new malady, new problem within the body, because now you're feeling stressed, you're feeling afraid, you're feeling trepidatious.
Right. So what is your suggestion? Like if somebody just, if you could just tell every listener that I have, what's a good thing? Is it a breathing technique? Is it just sitting quietly and trying to meditate? Is it going to the healing temple that I do almost every night now?
Well, it's all the above.
Okay.
And remember that when we go to a doctor, why do we go to a doctor? We go to a doctor because we are sick. There's a problem. There's a pain. There's a malady. There's a discomfort.
Yeah.
So we go to the doctor, which means we waited for it to manifest as a physical form for someone to then tell us, well, now you've got to do this exercise, you've got to take these drugs, and you go to the pharmacist and you do it immediately. You put it into practice.
Okay.
Now we're going to use that as an example. We're going to rewind all those things that you listed, meditation, mindfulness, being aware of the body, is all part of the pre-prescriptive remedies. So that way you never have to be the person who walks into that doctor's office, which means showing up to do the work is a part of my new hygiene.
Gotcha. No, that makes total sense because, you know, it's one of those things where you have to know yourself too and your limitations. Like I do have to get off social media. I do have to stop watching the news for a while and sit down on the floor with my little granddaughter and just get in her world and her timeline and just say the ABCs and sing with her and read to her. And an hour goes by and I feel so much better. You know, and I could look at the news and not feel so bad about it. I can look at what I see on social media and not feel so bad about it because it doesn't affect me as badly. There are times when I get really upset, though. And we talked about this before I started recording with you. And, you know, I know you really don't predict. And I don't think any of us really can because it's just so crazy right now. But if we can just, guys, just take a step back. Of course, be aware. Of course, make sure that you know kind of what's going on. But you don't need to know every single little thing. Don't doom scroll, because that's sometimes what I end up doing. And I have to stop myself. I have to remind myself to live every moment.
Yes. First of all, I agree. But one of the things that you mentioned was that when we focus on these big world predictions, what's going to happen in the climate of our politics here in the U.S., or just in our climate connections between how we interact with other countries or the climate of the world in general, we have to remember that there are always going to be timelines of destruction and demise.
Yeah.
Always. They've always existed. The difference is, what are you putting weight into?
Right.
Now, if the question is, can I perceive timelines of the world? Of course I can. Of course.
Yeah.
As a child, I was perceiving things that were coming and that hadn't happened yet all the time. Those are timelines.
Right.
Now, why don't I do that? I don't do that because all energy that gets pushed towards timelines of destruction adds more fuel to that timeline.
Mm-hmm.
All thoughts will add more energy to the manifestation of that, which means if you want your thoughts to be going towards something that is better aligned, then allow the timelines to be aligned with the energy of assistance, the energy of service.
Right.
And it's also helpful for us to remember that in our current climate, here's the value of it being so challenging. So regardless of how you voted, let's just say that you voted democratically in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
which means that your person that you voted for is not in office,
okay.
which means that you are going to be annoyed and aggravated and disheartened, and you're going to be feeling all these emotions,
yeah.
okay? But everyone else that did vote for that candidate feels the exact opposite
right.
of you.
Absolutely.
They feel eager for the community. They feel excited. They feel like this is good, which shows you that this is completely subjective.
Absolutely.
Right? So now what do? We change our reaction to what your current reality is. Mm. You change your reaction. I'm going to say something else that is going to be completely polarizing for me as a seer.
Yeah.
All right. I did not vote for Trump. Okay. I did not vote for him for my own personal reasons. Mm-hmm. I did not vote for Trump. Mm-hmm. I have my own reasons of why I didn't do that.
Okay.
But I cannot change the reality that he was voted into office.
Right.
So how am I going to change my reaction? Instead of being angered, because I was angered, instead of being upset, if I tune out of me being a light seer and just tune into chemo, I'm angered, I'm upset, I'm disheartened, maybe even a little depressed, right?
Yeah.
But that's me tuned out. But if I maintain my frequency and keep it tuned in, I can say I cannot change the current reality of who is in office. But by changing my reaction, I can offer this. I can take my ability to energetically help create flow and assistance and service, and I can do what? Direct it towards Trump.
Yes.
Now, that is very, very challenging what I just said, because I don't agree with this person. I don't believe what this person says. I feel like this person is incredibly sycophantic. But at the same time, if I truly believe that I am here to be of service, to be a person who is able to help change the climate of the world in what I would believe is better, I must take that clarity and put it to the person who is currently in charge.
I agree. You know, good and good intentions and all those things that we try to put out into the ether, good attracts good, bad attracts bad. And I know I'm simplifying it, but it's just the truth. And I can sit here and you know, if I voted Democrat or I voted Republican, either way, it doesn't matter. Someone's going to be pissed. So you're right. You just have to.
Someone's going to be pissed. Yeah. And you have to change your reaction. Now, the thing to remember for those individuals who also voted for Kamala or whoever you voted for, you did not vote for Trump, and now you're angered. Now you're mad. And maybe now you're triggered by what I just said. Your trigger has nothing to do with me. Your trigger is the fact that you feel marginalized, you feel depressed, and take that and redirect that energy. Bring into higher alignment the intention of him doing what he truly believes is good for this country.
Yeah.
Even though I do not agree with this person, I am not going to spend 4 years depressed. I'm not going to spend 4 years taking all of my exuberant energy and misaligning it. I will waste my energy. It will go to no good. Right. I will not be in service. And I also do not think that it is healthy for us to be in any kind of echo chamber. I do not want to be in an echo chamber of everyone who only thinks like me. How boring would that be?
Right. You know, they're here for a role. I think we are supposed to have some change in this world, the world, not just the United States. And I think sometimes these people bring on change, good or bad. It doesn't matter what you perceive it to be. We're talking about change that has to happen. And we're here. And you know what? What an amazing ride this is going to be.
Yeah. Well, and again, let's go back to what we said 10 minutes ago. The more clear you are, the more clear you are. You can only be of assistance. Meaning, I know with profound clarity who I am, what I'm able to do. Therefore, I do not second guess my ability to try to share that energy and direct it towards someone who is currently in charge.
Right.
I do not doubt my clarity when it comes to that.
Right.
So therefore, I can send that clarity to that individual in charge without feeling depressed and angered and mad. Now, granted, do I experience those emotions? Of course I do.
You're human.
But I am, yeah, of course. But I am just not allowing it to infiltrate my body and my mind, because then guess who's going to get sick? I am.
Right. And that's what we've been talking about.
Someone that I've never even met.
Right. Right. No. Chemo, oh my gosh. Now tell me all about your social media. Tell everybody where they can find you. Tell us everything.
Well, thank you. My social media is all this insight and information wrapped up into small little mini lessons. I try to offer one to four little mini lessons every single day. Every single day I post. If you follow me on a TikTok, it is The Light Seer. Mm-hmm. I'm also on Instagram as Aloha Light Seer. We're on Facebook as Hawaiian Light Seer. We are on YouTube as The Light Seer. We're even on Pinterest.
You need to be Pinteresting. Yes.
You're even on Pinterest. But there are multiple ways to find me. Now, today was a little bit fiery. Today we spoke with a little bit more heat.
Yeah.
Now, in general, when I share my information, I choose to not speak with a lot of heat. I choose to speak neutrally. So yes. That way we are not speaking in any echo chamber of polarity.
Right. No, and that's what attracted me to your videos. You're just lovely. And even to the haters, you're just like so lovely to them. And you're so giving and caring. And that's what you're talking about with everything else. You're just lovely. And you're not going to change people's mind when you're jerks to them. You're never going to change their mind.
Never. No one has. You have never seen two people arguing face to face, going at it, and the other person say, "You're right." That has never happened.
Right?
Because you can't perceive someone else's perspective when you're coming from a place of anger.
Exactly. Exactly.
You can't see it.
No. And you just get more angry. So
listen. More angry.
Yeah, you do. And it's just nobody wins. And we've got to get to this point where somebody's going to start winning here. Okay. Kimo, you are always amazing. I want to thank you again for being on my show. I adore you, and you're going to be back because my listeners love you.
I can't wait. Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.